I'm Kevin Durant, the Golden State Warriors. Now I'm back to the drive with Steve Jackson and KSRO.
Do we only have Boogie and Kevin Durant? Jim, get on that, would you? We need Steph. Did you see that last night? He scored 51 points? Good grief. Wow. So cool. Warriors tomorrow. Pre-game at 4. Tip-off at 4:30, which means we have an hour to do tomorrow. I'm hoping I can make it. It's a long time, isn't it?
Literally phone it in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's 3:21 on your Thursday drive. David Templeton will be in with the editor of the Argus Courier. David's working there now. Matt Brown is the editor. Denise Aaliyah Yen has a new play. The drive's first annual district election candidate forum, Spooktacular, with Paul Gullickson from Sonoma State and the great Herman G. Hernandez. And I think Pete Fabiano's coming in, or did you bump him? I don't know. I think he's coming in. Scott Covington is the winemaker at Trioni. They're doing a Fall Colors Festival in Geyserville, and it's the Drive Thursday Brouhaha, brought to you by Hop Monk and Willoughby's. And we have the brewmaster from Anchor in San Francisco today, where my co-host Mark Carpenter worked. He started there in 1971, so this will be cool. Gotta love the Anchor. All right. Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. Explain that, Harry. What does post-electric mean?
Well, I'm going to throw that to our guests because it takes a little bit of an explanation. In the 3 years that I've been doing the program with you, Steve, I have never had representatives of the Sonoma State University Theater Arts Department on until today.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. Shame on them for never calling. But joining us are representatives of the Theater Arts Department and their current production, which will open on Halloween Eve, October 31st. It is, as Steve said, Mr. Burns, a post-electric play.
Let me introduce Sierra. Well, I think I got it.
Okay.
Sierra Sluzywitz.
Wrong.
Well, that's pretty close.
Close. How do you say it?
Sluzywitz.
So Sluzywitz.
I'll take it, whatever
cool
I can
name.
Get.
I like it. Go ahead and introduce the others.
Well, we've got director Alexis McNabb and actors, as you said, Susie Sluzywitz, Rhett Curry, and Natasha Potts. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. I have so many questions in my head. First off, somebody explain what a post-electric play means.
All right. This is Alexis. I'm the director, and this is a play by Anne Washburn. And it takes place right after a grand nuclear apocalypse where the electric grid has gone down for potentially the entire world, but anyway, the entire region.
Oh.
And so survivors are coming together as they are wont to do, and our particular band that we discover in the woods end up passing the time by misremembering an episode of The Simpsons, specifically the Cape Fear episode, which sends up the 90s movie Cape Fear.
Well, it's a Sideshow Bob episode.
It is a Sideshow Bob episode.
Oh, hey.
And they're retelling.
Who plays Sideshow Bob? Not you.
No.
Are you saying Rhett, he looks like Sideshow Bob?
Rhett does a very good impression of him, though.
The impression. The characters are played by. The actors play multiple characters throughout the show itself. And the characters we play will also play characters from The Simpsons as they reenact and create sort of new art.
This is cool. So, misremembering, did you say? What, they're talking about Simpson episodes, but they screw it all up or something? They don't remember quite correctly?
Yep, you got it pretty much right. I mean, whenever, right on the nose.
If you were trying to remember something and it gets kind of hazy.
After a nuclear annihilation, right. You might have difficulty recalling certain
I don't remember yesterday.
There's no Wikipedia.
So I can explain.
So let's talk about where the play is set. Obviously, it's a post-apocalyptic time, but where is it taking place?
So it takes place in the woods surrounding major cities. So Anne is a New York-based playwright, and it's on the East Coast. But it really doesn't matter.
So an undetermined location.
Exactly right.
And you have a group of survivors. And tell us about these survivors.
Survivors? Who
well,
are you?
My character's name is Maria, and we have come out that she's the youngest of the survivor group so far. She definitely doesn't remember a lot about the Simpsons, but since it's the only thing they've been talking about, she's just like, oh, yeah, I totally remember the Simpsons because it was probably a little bit before her time. But she's pretty much the, I guess, the puppy dog of the group.
And Rhett?
Matt is the Simpsons aficionado, and that is the character I play. And he is, I would say, the most nerdy about The Simpsons, and he drives the conversation for some parts of it.
And Natasha?
My character is Colleen, and actually in the first act, she doesn't have any lines. What we know is that she recently lost her daughter, having to do with this apocalypse that happened. But Colleen is a very strong-minded and kind of likes to take charge and is pretty good at that, but emotionally is very unstable.
Okay, so we have all these survivors of a nuclear annihilation, and one of the things that also has survived is the memory of the Simpsons. And so they begin to recreate these as a way to pass culture on to the next generation. Have I got that right?
Yeah, exactly. So when we first find them, they are remembering the story sort of as a way to pass the time, to come together, to create a little community. And then we flash forward 7 years where these same group of people are now running a performance troupe who offer live enactments of as many Simpsons episodes as they can piece together, and have become part of a larger ecosystem of performance, of roving performers that travel the land trying to entertain the what's left of civilization.
So what in a previous time might be Shakespeare is now turned to The Simpsons. Okay, so
you gotta love that.
You gotta love that. You three, of course, play those characters that we just talked about, but then you take on the role of the Simpson characters. So let's talk about the Simpson characters that you play.
Well, part of my characters, I play Scratchy, and Rhett here plays Itchy as well, and I can say we have so much fun playing both of those two creepy, weird characters.
Itchy and Scratchy show.
There you go.
Yes.
At a point in the show, the characters have become a little bit of a twisted version of the characters that were once remembered because time has passed for a very long time.
So they become the henchmen of Mr. Burns, who is our villain of Act 3.
So Mr. Burns makes an appearance.
Yes.
He does in a conflated, generalized Simpson evilness way.
Does he look like Mr. Burns? I mean,
you'll just have to come and tell us what you think.
And Natasha, you're playing the iconic character of Bart, correct?
Yes, I am.
Talk about having to be a Simpsons character and what that challenge is you to do.
Well, interestingly enough, what we've kind of decided since this is sort of 75 years down the line after this apocalypse is that these people wouldn't really know exactly how these characters would act, since most of them probably, or none of them, would have seen these TV shows themselves. And so we kind of based on like kind of general sort of ideas for the characters. And so we have Bart be really the hero, and we have the family dynamic is really, really important in that act with Bart and
there's
and
no
Marge
Homer
and Homer.
Oh, there is.
And Maggie and Lisa. We have all those characters.
Do you talk like Bart?
No, I don't. I do not. But we take on the hero like Bart. It's really what we try to focus on.
It's interesting in that I would assume you're going to have a particular audience come expecting to see The Simpsons, but that's not what they're going to get, correct?
Correct. It is its own story, and it really is the tropes of The Simpsons characters evolved to enact the hero's journey, to go through a great trial. the words will be the same, the character names will be the same, and a little bit of the dynamic is the same.
Certainly the plot from Cape Fear will be recognizable.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
In various iterations, yeah.
Now, you do know that that movie, Cape Fear, was originally made in the 50s.
We do.
60s.
Yes.
60s, thank you.
You're welcome.
Whatever, same thing.
What's 10 years when there's a nuclear apocalypse coming down the road?
Well, you know, this is so bizarre, and I love it. But what about Anne Washburn? Who is she? Where is she? And I can't figure out why she came up with this.
Great question. So, as you say, the 90s Cape Fear is a remake of an earlier version, and Anne Washburn specifically is interested in versions of versions and the way that the time acts as a game of telephone and transforms and distorts information as it goes along, and delivers what the society needs at the time that it's experiencing it.
Yeah, the 1960s Cape Fear with Robert Mitchum and Gregory Peck is very different from the 90s Cape Fear with Robert De Niro and Nick Nolte.
Both are great.
They're very different. Yeah, you know, the basic story there. So I kind of get that point. It's like you can take a Simpsons episode, and as you said, in 7 years it can be one thing, in 50 years it can be another, in 150 years it can be something beyond that.
Right, and what the Simpsons was trying to do with it was totally different from what the films were doing, even though the plot had some similarities. So, you know, what do we need to tell ourselves in order to survive, in order to uplift, in order to entertain, in order to think introspectively? And Anne's a playwright that was prolific in New York and really had a lot of her work is influenced by post 9/11. So one of the questions that she asked herself was, after a collapse, what stories will remain? Will it be Shakespeare that is so often paraded around every summer and we think has entered into some larger consciousness? Or will it be something more popular, more populist, more memorable to most of the population?
Yeah.
Will we end up reciting Futurama episodes?
I hope not.
What does a post-apocalyptic set look like?
Well, I have to call out the Sonoma State designers who are all students. So this project is heavily student celebratory, and they have all our scenic design and lighting design and costume design, all of our lead design has been created by students. So we have some pretty exciting elements in our set that involve a destroyed car, I'll say it. I thought I'd save it, but I won't. It's really worth checking out. Really exciting, expansive costumes that sort of take over the space. We're in-person theater, which is SSU's large
It's space. A terrific venue. It really
it's
is.
It's a beautiful, beautiful venue. And we're actually putting some of the audience on stage. So you will have a sort of in the round effect. You can get quite close to the action.
I like
but
that.
Also, you'll be able to be in the house as well and see that beautiful angle.
My friend Juliette Picorni is doing something. She's part of the staff.
She is. Right? She's a major part of all of our work.
Yeah, she's great.
So Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, opens next Wednesday, Halloween, October 31st. It runs through November 4th. It's got a fairly short run, actually. That's 5 days.
Yep,
only Wednesday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday performances are at 8 o'clock, I believe?
7:30,
thank you. And the Sunday matinee is at 2. We have one pair of tickets to give to the first caller at 707-636-1350. Your tickets are free, but because it's Sonoma State, you got to pay for parking. So if you're willing to spend $5 on parking...
You can park at Mike's house. He lives right here.
If you're willing to spend $5 on parking, we'll give you 2 tickets to see the show.
By the way,
the tickets are good any evening.
Sonoma State students get in free. Mm-hmm. And then it says here tickets $5 to $17. That's a steal.
Absolutely. Everyone should come down.
Yeah.
For information on the show, as far as dates, times, parking, etc., go to web.sonoma.edu/tix.
Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, 5 nights only, or 5 days?
4 days and one, or 4 nights and 1 afternoon.
Right, okay, cool. Again, opening on Halloween, running through November 4th. So Check it out. I need to do that. This sounds really cool. It's Mr. Burns at Sonoma State. Thanks to everyone. Alexis McNabb, who is the director. Sierra Sluzowitz. I got it.
That you did get it.
Rhett Curry. And
that's delicious, by the way. Have you ever had that? The Rhett Curry?
I always
fantastic.
Ask that question.
Yeah.
And Natasha, I didn't. Your name's not on my sheet.
Natasha Potts.
There you go.
Thanks so much for having us. Thank you. So much.
Break legs, guys.
Thank you.
Stay in touch with Harry, and anything you're doing, let us know, and we'll have you back. All right, coming up, David Templeton, actor, writer, former guy who had Harry's job at the Bohemian, now working for the Argus Courier, and he's coming in with editor Matt Brown. A whole bunch more, including in the 4 o'clock hour, the Drive's first annual district election candidate form. We've been doing it for 10 years, but this is the first time it's district elections for the Santa Rosa City Council. Paul Gullickson from Sonoma State, Herman G. Hernandez, and I think Pete Fapiano will be joining us too. Lots more to come on the Drive. Stay tuned.